You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Okay, we're off into hour number two. Go to towardanarchy.com to follow along. It is March 28th, and I shared some links, even if I don't always have a guest or someone to chat with, which is my own fault. Not necessarily. I guess it's not. I could always shoehorn somebody in there. There's always somebody that could be on, but I'm always searching for new people and new topics and new ideas. And just about everybody that I reached out to recently has not responded or is not available right this moment and just can't do it right now. And so I've been happy to just kind of hang out and do my thing for a little bit. And then it's sort of life matters and happenings that drive what I end up doing during the week. And a couple of things happened to me this week. And we'll talk about that coming up. But there's a caller, Lauren, and I don't want to assume male or female, and even if I knew male or female, I would still use it as one of those names that I could get away with saying. I don't want to assume any genders here. So we'll talk to Lauren and see what Lauren in Ohio has to say about some freedom solutions. I like the idea of freedom and solutions together. I wish I put things that way more often, but then I think about who it is I am and what I am, what I'm doing here each week as I come and go, and I think, oh man, there's so much to talk about, and it's not overwhelming, but I feel inadequate. I don't feel as if I'm worthy to be the one to talk about all these things. So I don't necessarily always tout the way I speak about the ideas and the things that I put forth as being necessarily solutions for freedom. So I'm glad that you use the words, Lauren.
Well, what you have is you have respect, and you have respect for the truth, and you also have respect for a man's intellect and his ability to search out a matter for himself, to stop looking to third parties and experts to tell us what is. Truth just is. If you just look, open your eyes. Eyes to see and ears to hear are required. And we have been developed not to have those things. But how do we get here? Four generations of public school and private school and college where they tell you lies. And to get to pass, you have to repeat the lies. You've got to move into that space. You've got to give up your freedom, your soul, your understanding of the precious treasure you are as a creation. And you don't have to be a Christian to understand that no man made you. So how is it that we've got these group of, and I'm just going to say it, Satanist pedophiles ordering us around, don't breathe, and we're dumb enough to do it?
I have no problem with referring to them as Satanist pedophiles, because it's an absolute fact. If
there you go.
Oh, God, anybody who has spent any time in the so-called underbelly of the internet, that's exactly what they are, Satanist pedophiles.
Even if you haven't, Jeffrey
even
Epstein
if you
was
haven't,
public, the
yes,
Nexium scandal
but,
was public, yeah. All these Franklin
yeah,
scandal
well,
cover-ups,
well,
all of
people
this
don't
is
want
public.
To believe. People don't want to believe that, but then, man, all just if you don't believe it, I know it's scary, and there's some stuff you don't want to see. Take 5 minutes. I'm telling you, that's all it takes. 5 minutes of scrolling through some of that Chan and some of that stuff, and you will see, because it's not filtered like it is in the social media. And I know I talked about that earlier in the show, and this idea of filtering people. Well, this is it. This is exactly what I'm talking about. We know where these people are at, and they're talking about these things and sharing these ideas. It's not hidden. It's out there for you if you just look for it.
And so the question is, who are we and what are we as Americans? I call us the new American ace. We're arrogant, we're ignorant, and we're selfish. We just don't want to know. And so what I'm saying is the natural fruit is destruction. So for the people who do want to be free, want to run their own lives, you're going to have to cancel the contracts. You're going to have to stop giving them your money. You're going to have to stop giving them access to your children. How do you think you got to a point where they say, throw out your arm for an experimental vaccine wherein we're going to re-engineer your body to produce a protein it never produced before? I mean, can you say thalidomide babies? And that was just, you know, nausea pills for mama. That wasn't even going in and changing genes. Do you understand? You change one thing, what expression's going to come out the other side? Babies born with an arm sticking out of their butt? I mean, what is coming on the other side of this? And then it'll be, you know, we didn't know. Well, of course you knew. It's never been done before. They've never had an mRNA vaccine that was effective. Every time you do a challenge test, all the subjects died.
This thing is...
It may not be instantaneous, but
People ask us the question why we would have this conversation about a vaccine, and my God, man, just look at the history. Look at the manipulation is what is happening. Look at who benefits from this, and the rush that is put on these things, and the fear that drives them, and the ignorance. I had a friend the other day come up to me and brag to me about how he had gotten his vaccine. And I said, really, you went and you got your vaccine today? Is that right? A year later, on the downside of the exposure and the virus itself, you decided to go get a vaccine. After all this time, you didn't catch it, or you caught it and lived through it, and now you decide to go get a vaccine. That's the kind of ignorance and fear we're talking about.
Yeah, but he's a hero now. He didn't have to do anything but put on the mask and take the shot. But he is better than his fellow man because he's with the in crowd. That's what I'm saying. You learn to behave like that. I mean, my homeschool children don't know what it is to be cool or what it is to, you know, see somebody in fancy something, fancy tennis shoes or whatever, and you know, don't have any tennis shoes at all or whatever. They don't get that. You have to learn that kind of stupid crap. And so
it's something that you learn in the public school systems. If I look back on my own existence, the things that I had, the first three pairs of the original Air Jordans and things, all because it was about being popular and showing off in front of the rest of the kids and trying to get some sort of attention and be somebody in that crowd of nobodies.
Right. And that's what I mean. They've stolen the joy out of living. Each one of us are here to express our creative being in whatever form. What they do is suck that energy, direct it where they want it to go, tap it, use it, suck off the profit, and then you get all the crap. You as the slave get the debt. You get the crappy lifestyle. You get the corrupted children because you weren't there to raise them. You get all the downstream garbage. But it's all your fault, and you can fix it any time. And this is my point. When you're talking toward anarchy, the way to get there is just go. Just stop giving them your money. Just stop giving them access to your children. Just turn off that TV. If they don't ever see red code, blue, you know, one, I don't even know them. There's color codes, there's winter, weather, whatever. I don't know any of it. And I intend to keep not knowing. I don't care what the French government says. I don't care what the Masons say. Why should I? And if you break your contract,
you mentioned that the Masons and the markings on some of this stuff, and I do my browsing and walking around in some of those fun areas, and boy, yeah. There are just the markers all over the place. This shooting in Boulder, a bunch of markers on that too. But they, you know, even that, I look at something like that and I say, you know, yeah, there's this, that, and the other thing that could be all washed over the top of it. But didn't our president and his military forces, didn't the commander in chief just bomb Syria less than a month ago? And wasn't it a Syrian immigrant that shot up that store?
Well, this is what I'm talking about. We're participating by giving them our tax dollars. Mm. I quit giving them tax money as soon as I understood that there was no reason for me to give the fruit of my labor. And I didn't fill anything out or sign anything. I just stopped signing that contract. Those are renewable contracts when you sign those W-4s. Quit signing it and keep the fruit of your labor. And if they come telling you you owe money, just say, wait a minute. How is it I owe you money? Make them explain it. But, you know, they can't. And the thing is, we cannot keep waiting for somebody else to do something.
It's not going to happen. The people that are doing something, I got to break it to you folks, they're doing something for themselves, and hopefully if you're lucky, they're the residually or even intentionally, they're using some of what they're learning and the rewards that they're getting to try and influence and teach other people.
And then the last thing I was going to say was on this pathogen that everybody is running around worrying about. Now, it is a real bug. They really did manufacture it. It looks like a Frankenstein under a microscope.
Sure,
my daughter
like
did her doctoral thesis on it. It's 50 pages. I'll send it your way if you're interested. It's got a section on masks, a section on, you know, so you can look all this stuff. And the thing is, since she submitted it, all this stuff came out, the Centers for Disease Control, all these people, they're admitting what they did now. And this is the point.
Once they
get it in you, then they're going to say they did it. Everybody's going to be a big cluster. Nobody's going to get in trouble. But all you people that took that shot, your downstream consequences are just horrendous. And I'm just going to read this one thing when you were asking about what this bug. This is just a piece of it. If you notice, the people in Australia were testing positive for AIDS. A lot of the side effects include arthritic, painful joints, okay? So this is from this Mycoplasma, the linking pathogen in neurosystemic diseases by Professor Don Scott. It was from 2001, first page. Okay, this disease agent is not a bacterium and not a virus. It is a mutated form of the Brucella bacterium, that's cow arthritis, combined with the Vizsna virus, that's T4 lymphocyte immune destruction in a sheep from which the mycoplasma is extracted. That's what they're doing. It causes the diseases. Dr. Maurice Hillman, chief virologist for the pharmaceutical company Merck Sharp & Dohme, stated that this disease agent is carried by practically everybody in North America and possibly most people throughout the world.
Well, that's one of the things about the PCR test that people don't understand, is that you can find anything in anyone if you run that test long enough.
Right, but if you run the test 10 times and you come up positive for mycoplasma, this is the thing. I'm a naturopathic doctor now. I used to be a drug rep. And my drug was the drug of choice for Lyme disease. It was a cephalosporin antibiotic, IV. You had to get a port in your arm, get an IV every day for 6 weeks, and that was supposed to make you better. Well, it didn't, because they weren't addressing the mycoplasma component of the pathogen. They thought it was Borrelia burgdorferi spirochete. It wasn't just that. It was the mycoplasma. The mycoplasma was the root of the chronic infections. And depending on where it affected your, you know, how it affected your genetics, it made a combination of the following diseases: AIDS, cancer, chronic fatigue, Crohn's colitis, type 1 diabetes, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, Wegener's disease, collagen vascular diseases such as rheumatoid arthritis, and Alzheimer's. That's just the old stuff. This paper's from 2001. Now move it forward. Go through SARS, go through MERS, and what they were doing, preparing your body for it. And now here we are, and this is what I'm saying. If you just understand that there is an intention, okay, the U.S. Public Health Service closely followed the progress of biological warfare research from the very start of the program. And the Centers for Disease Control and the National Institutes of Health in the United States were working with the military in weaponizing these diseases. The Special Virus Cancer Program, created by the CIA and the NIH to develop a deadly pathogen for which humanity had no natural immunity, that's AIDS, was disguised as a war on cancer, but was actually part of MK-Naomi. That's Niggers are only momentary individuals. Why does this kill more black people? Why do they want to give it to the black people first? Anthony Fauci, who loved his name, means sickle in Italian. He wants to help the black people. Yeah, uh-huh. Help you to your early death. And this is what I'm talking about. You have got to decide that you want to understand what's going on and that you're going to run your life. And I'll read you this last piece and then get off. The title page of a genuine U.S. study declassified in February 24th, 1977, shows that George Merck of the pharmaceutical company Merck Sharp & Dohme, which now makes cures for the diseases it one time created, reported in 1946 to the U.S. Secretary of War that his researchers had managed for the first time to isolate the disease agent in crystalline form. They've been working a long time to get you off this planet. They're done with you now. This paper, they gave you the diseases, the diabetes. They lived off of that for a while. Now they're done with you. They don't need all these old people. England reported they saved $600 million just from the dead people from COVID. If you don't have
Is
enough
that
vitamins,
right? I hadn't heard that.
Oh, yeah. That was published maybe 3-4 weeks ago. Yeah,
I
they're saving a
little. I hadn't thought about that yet. But, yeah,
Well, sure. Oh, my gosh,
that's huge savings.
And you also get rid of the historical memory of people who remember what it is to be free.
Yeah.
You know, you're 70, you're 80, you're 90 years old. You lived free in America. I remember some freedom. I'm 57. So, I mean, but what I'm saying is these young people, they don't know heads or tails. They don't know how to read. They don't know Shakespeare. They can't write in cursive. They know no history. So,
there's so much there, and you're absolutely right, and there's so much more to it, and it's just, it's a long, long road, and that's why it's got to be about individuals and respect for each other, and we have to build it from there. And
it's a short road if we do it that way. That's the point.
If we do it that way, that's right. It's a really long road if you try to hoe it through a long row to hoe through the political process and through that thing. It's created what we have now, and no matter what anybody says about how good it is or how bad it is, this is what it is. This wasn't brought here by any more freedom than was allowed at the time to create it.
Well, and it's there to distract you, to keep you from using your energy to set yourself free.
Yeah.
As
oh,
long
God.
As you keep putting your energy in over there and hoping that somebody will vote to let you breathe. I mean, think about what they're saying. Don't breathe. Wear two masks. Wear four. One mask, two masks. Red mask, blue mask. I mean, oh, my God. No Dr. Seuss for you, but we can have tranny story time at the library. And this is what
I'm tranny time, this... tranny story time at the library where the tranny exposes himself without any
no,
proper undergarments on. Yes, I'm paying attention, folks. My God.
But I just want people to have hope and to understand you can do this. Stop waiting for your neighbor to do it. Don't worry about what people call you. Don't worry about the friends you lose because you're talking about your immortal soul. You're talking about whether or not you protect your children. I vaccinated a couple of mine. I wrecked one's gallbladder. I gave one the diabetes and Crohn's disease, and she was a mess to fix, and some stuff I can't fix, okay? But my point is, once I understood that I had done something destructive, I didn't hold on to my beliefs. Well, I was a good mother, and I took them to the vaccines on time. I didn't hold on to that lie. I looked, I learned from the mistake, and I altered my course to get in line with the truth. Truth just is. It doesn't change for you. You change for it if you want to live well. If you don't, that's fine. I don't mind if you go down to your destruction. But I'm not paying for your retarded child. I'm not paying for your crippled butt because you took this vaccine or your dead family member and now you've got it hard. This is my point. We, the productive people paying attention, respecting the truth, we can't afford to take care of you. Already, anybody who's bothered saving, your savings are going up in smoke. They just printed $3 trillion, and they're talking about $4 trillion more, and you're 6 months into this. I mean, my God. So doing the right thing, it pays if you respect the truth. God said that money, value, real treasure is land, cattle, gold, and silver. It's not Bitcoin. At least a tulip bulb was a tulip bulb. What's a Bitcoin? That's for the globalists to use. And from my understanding, that Takori Nakam, whatever his name is, it means Central Intelligence Agency or something like that. And,
and, but the whole I don't know. Is, I have
so
to admit.
If they get control of that, they can print forever.
I do this on purpose. I don't look. I don't want to know. I got to look at that functional reality on the end of it, and it's just fiat. It's just another gamble for people to play with.
Well, not even. It allows them to take control of the society because at that point they don't have to back anything with gold or resources.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, we've already reached that point already. It's just another gamble, another place to play, another market. It's all an illusion. That's the reality of all of that money stuff. Thank you so much, Lauren. I appreciate it. We got to go into a break. We'll be back on Toward Anarchy.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Just to place a sort of cap on the end of the conversation there, because I get a lot of people listen. I know that a lot of people who listen to the show have very specific thoughts about money and economics and things like Bitcoin and on both sides of the aisle. And I always really want to offer that complete
economist understanding of a functional tool and of a free market where we are otherwise, there's all the taxation and the theft and all of that. But we are otherwise, generally speaking, allowed to do what we want with our money and invest it in things. And that, you know, the Bitcoin thing for me is, I talked about earlier in the show, the using the farm town or whatever, what is it, the social media, the Farmville, to condition people to trade in coins, and it really was the introduction for a lot of people to the idea of collecting coins. And really it every game since then, every version of it has been really similar to that, and being able to collect coins and build a bank like that in all of these different games. And so I don't know about the Bitcoin thing, about the heart of it, at the very heart of it. I've never looked up Satoshi or whatever his name is. I don't really know anything about it, him, because I don't care about him or why it was created or any of that. I see it as the functional tool it is, and I've always tried to put it in its place. And it's simply it's a digital collectible. It's one of the earliest forms of a digital collectible, and still in and of itself is a very a good a digital collectible because of the fact that it is on the blockchain. That means that it's individual. It means you can hold it yourself. It's the introduction to what a lot of people are doing now. It's really the beginning of what all of a sudden has become this huge craze. And I've been talking about it for years. I've been collecting digital pieces of art, digital collectibles for officially, I've been doing it since probably 1998, but that's beside the point, maybe 95. As an actual attempt to profit from it. That's the reason that I did this, and the reason that I jumped into this marketplace that I've talked about, where I bought these digital collectibles that I own thousands upon thousands of them, and they're pop culture related. So this thing that's happening now with these NFTs, they're non-fungible tokens. They are it was predictable. It was going to happen. I knew it was coming, and I saw it, and I've talked about it. And so I just like to put those things in their place. They're just collectibles. They really are. They're just tools to use in the marketplace. And then I caution you, when you get into those larger marketplaces, that you're playing with bigger players, and that there's a bigger reward, but there's a bigger risk. And that's just the way those things work. And that's the way I always talk about any of these things. The dollar is the same thing. It's fiat, but it's tradable. You can see what it's valued at. It's another risk. Unfortunately, because we're all forced to use it to be our primary method of exchange, we're subject to the manipulations of others. That's a whole other topic of conversation. It's not the same thing as the individual's ability to take advantage of it. If people realized that their dollar worked kind of like those NFTs, they would realize that producing more of them willy-nilly and not sort of giving them a real basis for their creation, that just they're printed nonstop or zeros are added, that there's no value in that, and that it further devalues. It's interesting watching, because the public can be very dumb about something like economics, but then participate in economic activities in very smart ways. And it's a neat thing for me to watch. In fact, Lauren's probably still not on the phone, but if she wants a copy of Economics in One Lesson, if she wants to call back and give Sam her info, just an address or something that I can send it to, I won't user address to send anything but the book, and then it will disappear as always whenever I give something to somebody. I'm not collecting addresses or trying to figure out where people live or anything like that. I just want to send her an Economics in One Lesson, and because it's just a great book, and she's obviously very smart and very well read and knows a lot of things. And I would love her to get behind sharing a good economic thought that can be had in economics in one lesson. So it's an ulterior motive I have. So call back, Lauren, and give Sam your address and I'll send you one. We'll come back here on Toward Anarchy.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space. Out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch, but it wasn't because I didn't know enough, I just knew too much. Does that make me crazy?
SupportAnarchy.com. It's the best place to follow along, and it's so easy to share. You just, for Facebook and Twitter, it's really easy. They're right there.
You can also pop it up in your default email client by just clicking the little button that's right at the top of any given show page and on the front page as well, right in the middle there. Just so easy, just a couple of clicks, and you share the link. You don't even have to copy and paste it or anything like that. You just find the 28th, whether it's from the front page or through the archive, and right there, click, one more click after that, and no copy, no paste, none of that silliness. It's just a nice, easy little thing to do. There's other ways too. If you click the share button, there's like 30 other different places to share: Tumblr and Hacker News. I don't know why you'd share something on Hacker News from me. I talk some tech stuff sometimes. The the Bitcoin is a tech thing, but it's not it's not anything new. It's just another collectible. And everybody, what I started to say is that everybody right now, we have this interesting time, this interesting possibility for everybody or a larger portion maybe of the world to recognize the similarities between the dollar and collectibles, and how the continued production of a piece reduces the value of the existing pieces in that sense, and how those things are so closely related. And I think the digital currency and the digital collectibles offers that opportunity. That's awesome. Cool. Lauren, I will send you a copy of Economics in One Lesson. That's really great. I'm glad that she was able to call back and give her address. That's really cool. That's interesting that she says that. I may do that. We may have that conversation. I have to have that conversation here, and I know that Tom is holding and he wants to talk from Utah about the flu, and I would do that, but I got to get into this other thing, and so I'm thinking we should do that another time. Besides, Tom, what flu? There was no flu. And I imagine that was probably his point. The flu numbers disappeared this year. All of a sudden, magically, there was no flu this year, or almost non-existent. I've looked at different maps and different charts and different variations of numbers from place to place and around the world. And the reality is that they lost the flu in there somewhere. What would normally be sort of tens of thousands of dead, not to mention, and I've talked about this before, and this idea, it seems like a really simple notion to me, and I don't know why other people don't get it. Again, it's just I guess they just don't think about it. Maybe it's too simple, too logical. I think that happens a lot of times. People don't want to see something at face value. And for me, the face value of this entire thing, and I said this all the way back at the beginning in relation to this COVID stuff, that if you look at if you took the same panic, the same fear, the testing, the BS of the numbers, just the complete cluster, you know what, of the previous year, and apply it to the flu on any given year, and you would have this panic every single year. Realize that many more people get the flu and are, I'm doing the Nixon quotes thing here, asymptomatic, and walk through society, and we don't realize it because we do not create a fear and a panic about it. And that's one of the things that is a huge fraud about COVID. But I gotta move on, because I have to talk about this, because you guys need to hear this story, because at some point it's going to continue. It's going to be an ongoing story for a little bit, and I'll be talking about it for a while, and you'll be able to hear the outcome. And so you'll be able to place whatever value judgment you can on the things that I suggest and the things that I say. Rather, you'll see it one-sidedly, but you'll see the results regardless, and you'll know that this is you'll know the story, I guess, would be the easiest way to say that. So this last Sunday in the evening, we're just sitting in the house. It's after the show, so I'm home. Everybody's home. Dog's in her normal spot, which is just on her own little love seat on one side of the living room. And I think the door was recently opened. We have a screen door. Door was recently opened because daughter's boyfriend had just arrived and come in. And it's just a nice day, and so we had the door open. And the screen door it's locked. and it has one of those sliding windows that slides up, and we have it just this slot open. And at worst, it's all this ever happened. We do this all the time. We've been here for years in this place, and so we do this all the time. This is nothing new. And our dog can sort of just get her snout into it and bark at some people as they pass. But that's all she ever does. It just, you know, she sees somebody walking a dog, she'll give a little bark at them or something, and they'll walk on, and that's it. That's the end of it. Well, what happened on Sunday was the people who lived directly across the street, I mean, directly is maybe not the exact word because they're not, the houses aren't quite aligned up, so it's just a bit kitty-cornered, whatever. They're just right across the street. These people decide that they're going to take their dogs that they leave out all day long in the backyard that sit on the side of the house barking. And I'm home all day, and so I see this, and I know that I'm not home all day, but I'm home a lot of the day. And before recently, I was home all day, and they're left outside all the time. They're left there while the people who live there, the three ladies that live there, go off to do whatever it is that they do during the day. And the dogs are left outside on any given day to bark and just be out in the yard. And so my dog knows them because they're out there and they're barking and they're you can see them across the way. My dog can see them from our backyard barking from their backyard. And so these dogs know each other. They know, I'm sure they know each other's scent. There's no doubt in my mind about that, given my understanding of dogs. And so these dogs know each other, and they're, I guess, I don't know if they're antagonistic to each other. My dog's not antagonistic to anyone in person. Behind the fence, she's like any dog barking at whoever is on the other side of the fence. But when you take her to the other side of the fence where the person is, she's just wagging her tail and wanting to be petted and loved. It's just, she's just a sweet little dog. That's all there is to it. And she's not little. She's 54 pounds. But these people make this poor decision. There's no reason why they should come across our street. And our house is even blocked in a little bit because of the fact that there's four cars. And so we have basically three, you know, two-thirds of a front fence around our house. So you sort of have to work your way around to purposely come into our area. And they walked their dogs through our front yard, and they were barking and snarling at our dog because, I guess, I mean, it seems to me that they know each other, right? This is my impression of the whole thing. Well, this all happens in a matter of seconds, and I can see that they have their dogs uncontrolled. You know, they're pulling on the leash, trying to get them to come out of the yard, barking at my dog just before she pushes up the sliding glass. She's never done this before. Didn't even know she could. Didn't even know it was possible. I know the things are designed to go up and not come down, but they don't necessarily go up easy. I mean, you have to put some strength. So she put all of her 54 pounds into it and pushed her way up and through the door. And because the screen door was locked, I'm a second behind her, unable to catch her. She gets in. She gets torn up by these dogs. The idiot male, his response is to let go of the dog that he's walking and to immediately start kicking and punching dogs. This guy's just a complete jackass. The woman, her response is to start screaming at me about it's her right to walk on the sidewalk. Okay. Because this is what we're getting at, is that ultimately I'm in trouble for this because my dog was not on a leash, even though this all occurred in my front yard, this whole thing, and that they've made, and my argument, of course, is that they've made bad choices. And so I'm going to end up going to court over this. I may have to go to civil court over it. In fact, I will probably sue them. I think that that's how it's going to have to play out, is that I will just go ahead and sue them in court for the damages to my dog because they made poor decisions. Yes, they have a legal right to walk their dog on the sidewalk, but they don't have a right to let their dogs be in my yard. And just because they have a right, it doesn't negate their responsibility. We have the right to do a lot of things. Everybody has the right to jump out of an airplane, but not everybody does it. Because you know what you need? You need some learning and some understanding. You need to know that when dogs get in a fight, the first thing you do is not
drop the leash and start kicking and punching the dogs. Because when your dumbass gets bitten, that's your fault. Because the dog doesn't know where it's being attacked from. It just knows it's being attacked and it responds. You idiot. Anybody who owns big dogs should know that if your dogs get in a fight, whether they have a collar or not, none of that matters. You don't want to be reaching for a collar anyway because they're biting at necks. It's right where you're going to get bitten. You don't want to start hitting them and punching them. You come up behind them and you pick up their hind legs. That's great. I appreciate that, Sam. Tell Tom to call me. Yeah, and anytime. I'm always happy to talk. And Tom seems like a pretty cool guy. Let me get a drink here. You're getting the picture of where I'm going with this, right? I don't have to repeat this. I'm going to have to repeat this over and over again. I'm getting my drink here. I'm going to have to repeat this over and over again, and I have to make the argument that just because these people have a right doesn't mean that they're qualified to do so. In any sense of the word, and I'm not talking about being licensed or anything like that. I'm talking about they obviously don't have any knowledge of how to manage their big dogs. Well, one, the guy doesn't live there. He's a boyfriend. It's not his dogs. In his words, they are aggressive, and he is just protecting her. That's his language. Those are the words that he used. And he was still beaten the other dog, the female dog, I guess, is still punching and kicking her after we had already separated the two dogs that were actually wounded. My dog is screwed up. My dog has stents. Technically they sort of provide the same function. They allow fluid to pass, but a stent is actually something that keeps an artery wall from collapsing. It's a heart surgery thing. You install a wire mesh kind of expanding tube that keeps the artery open is the theory behind the stent. But these are kind of similar. They allow any fluid buildup in the wounds. She looks like, she looks like something out of a Tim Burton film, a sewn together dog. This happened Sunday, Thursday night. She was supposed to get the drains out 3 or 4 days later. And I took her to the vet Thursday morning, and we talked, and she prescribed some more antibiotic, a different antibiotic, because she didn't appear to be healing on one, and so they left them in. And then by that night, I was rushing her back to the emergency room to have sloughing dead skin cut off, and this is beautiful, huh? Gotta love radio. And sewn back together. Look up the word slough if you don't know. It just sort of means to sort of lazily fall off because it's friggin' dead. Necrosis had set in this patch, and it had been there right away. The fact is they should have cut it out initially. I think the response by the emergency vet and the fact that they charged us nowhere near what they charged us the first night to deal with, or even though this was just sort of septic, nasty, because it was kind of their fault and they made a bad decision and didn't follow through on something. But it's understandable why they didn't, because if they had to go through with what they ultimately ended up having to go through with, it was another 8-inch scar. Huge. I mean, when I say Frankenmutt, something like that, I'm not kidding. It's everything you can picture and imagine about that sort of stitched together dog look, certainly in and around the neck and face area. So the whole thing ultimately is a tragedy. It sucks. It's cost a bunch of money. If they wouldn't have involved the state, they called the cops on us, and now I have to go face all this, potentially the dog being off the leash and all this. I'm going to have to go through it all, so I'm not going to be nice to them now. I'm going to sue them. I'm going to sue them for the maximum $4,000 in the civil court, and I'll find all the ways that are required to naturally
make that number a reality, or as much of it as I can get out of it, because that's the small claims. And I'm already well on the way with over $1,000 spent on just the dog herself. And the argument will be that just because you have the right to do something doesn't mean that you are qualified to or should make that choice. In fact, I don't know if I've talked about this before, but I won't walk my dog because of this exact reason. I don't take my dog for walks around the neighborhood. I bet I've talked about this before. I bet we could, hours and hours of me running my mouth. I bet we could find it somewhere, potentially in the archive back there, me talking about the fact that I don't, that it's a dumb idea, and that I don't think that people should be allowed to walk their dogs around the neighborhood. You should be allowed to, but I don't think that the state should choose sides in the matter when they become involved. How is it that I can be responsible for a dog attack in my own yard when those dogs are away from their masters, have them out and about, and it happens in my yard, even if it ends up closer to the mailbox, or even if the people themselves, their feet actually stay on the sidewalk while their dogs are at the extended reach of their leashes and they struggle to pull them out of my yard? That's the question. It's not a question of licensing people or anything like that. I don't know how serious I can get with the whole thing, or how complicated it will become. So it's a story, so stay tuned. Oh, and that's why the archive wasn't available on Monday. We'll be right back to wrap it up.
Extendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Judge, Your Honor, I don't know. Arbiter, I apologize. I was not trying to color these proceedings with spit it out, boy. I was not trying to colorize these proceedings or to prejudice this court against the defendant over there. But the reality is, in mentioning the fact that the dogs are out all the time, is that within just a couple of days, their dogs were back out alone again, left alone, while my dog sits here convalescing on the couch. So that was all that was about. It just occurred to me that I started the conversation as sort of trying to mischaracterize the people, but not really, because you have to, if you complete the conversation, it's not a mischaracterization at all. Let me give you this story. Oh, you'll love this. So I tell this dumbass, this guy, the boyfriend, I tell him that we're going to the vet. And he says, yeah, we're going to the vet, too. And he says, which one are you going to? And I said, well, I'm going right over here to Topeka Emergency Vet, right over here off of 470 and 29th. And he says, oh, which one? What? And so obviously he doesn't even know. And so I said, so we won't be at the same place at the same time. And so a few minutes go by, we're getting our stuff together, looking at the dog, trying to figure out, you know, what exactly we need to do. She has some obvious big tears in her, attacked by two dogs. And we decide we're going to take her, and they eventually leave, and they probably leave 15, 20 minutes before we're able to, because not long after they leave, a little 17-year-old kid, some girl, one of the three women that lives in the house, it's a mother and two daughters. One is older, probably in 20s. I don't know. I don't pay attention to these people. I'm just I'm associating them by the very limited comings and goings that I see. It's not like I'm sitting over here watching them. I just know that this is a young girl, probably around high school age. I've seen some of the people that she runs around with. And she comes over here, and the first thing is she starts screaming at me. She says, you got money? My mom says she ain't going broke over this. Oh, my God, here we go. This is, and you know, this is the kind of people that we're dealing with. So I get to the vet half an hour, maybe more later. I'm running out of time to tell this, but this is so poignant to the conversation and to who these people are. Get to the vet. We're sitting there. We wait another half hour as my dog's sitting there bleeding all over me. I'm covered in blood from head to toe. It's literally on my face. They're here in the parking lot. They're at the same place. You can't go in. It's call. They come out. They meet you. They take your dog in, COVID. And so I'm out in the parking lot. They're out in the parking lot. And we've made the vet aware of what has happened and that we don't want to come in contact with them. So we're sitting in the car. It's about half an hour later, like I said, and we hear this screaming and we look over and these crazy people that live across the street are screaming at the vet and the vet's assistant about getting their dog inside. So he leaves. He comes back out, walks over to our car. He says, you know what? They were screaming at me. Let's get your dog in here. I'll be back next week. You take care.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.